Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose, a Patreon exclusive episode of Two Black Girls.
Yes. Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And for today's Bachelor in Paradise recap, we've invited some special guests to help us make sense of this pick me mentality that we are seeing a lot this season that has been frustrating the hell out of us. Just watching these beautiful young ladies on the beach just like struggling with this. So please welcome to the show the host of the Dateable podcast, a podcast digging into why we date the way we do, talking to real daters and experts to bring understanding to modern dating, Julie and UA. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us. We have so much pent-up frustration to express.
Oh, God. Well, you're in the right place then. Let's try and make sense of this, what we're watching. So from your perspective, you guys talk a lot to real daters. You guys talk a lot to experts on your podcast. What is this pick me girl? Can you like just take us back, even define what is a pick me girl? What are we seeing here on this paradise?
She is Kat. She is just Kat. Okay. I mean, seriously, I know how you two feel about Kat, and I feel like generally we know how everybody feels about Kat. Mm-hmm. It's the feeling of like, well, you know, I want to be with someone who just picks me, and I want to like, I don't know how I feel about this person, but what really matters is that they like me back. And the minute that they show interest, less interest in me, or they're showing they're not really picking me, I'm out. I'm out the door. Like, no, I need to be with someone who picks me. And it's a wild kind of mentality, because on one hand, you feel like you're empowered somehow. Like she comes off like she's very empowered on the show. Like, yeah, I need someone who's going to say hell yeah to me. But on the other hand, she doesn't realize she's relinquishing her control to someone else. Like she hasn't even expressed her own interest in these men. And all of a sudden she wants someone because she, you know, wants them to pick her.
What is inherently wrong with wanting somebody to pick you?
It comes down to that you're getting out of the choosing side. There's nothing inherently wrong with wanting someone to pick you. Like, we all want to be chosen, right?
Right.
But when it becomes that that's, like, at the forefront, and you don't even take a step back to say, do I like this person? I just want to move forward. I don't care who the person is, in theory. And, I mean, clearly, Bachelor in Paradise, like, if they don't get chosen, they're leaving. So that's, like, the most extreme scenario. But in dating, too, like, we see this all the time. It's like, I need to get to the third date. There's like this arbitrary marker and milestone that it's almost like, I don't even care if I like this person. I'm just like proving to myself that I can do it. That's when it becomes problematic.
Okay. Okay. So it's like the rat race.
Yeah.
Pick me.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that's how you guys would describe the kind of pick me mentality, is like racing towards whatever finish line you set, whether it's the third date or boyfriend or marriage or whatever. That's how you guys would describe it.
Yeah, it's like you lose track of what's important And yeah, like again, like you of course want to choose someone that chooses you. Like that's inevitable. That's like at the baseline.
Right.
But you're like taking yourself out of this choosing mentality because you're not saying like, if this person isn't right for me, I'm going to step away. You're just fully moving ahead because you just want to get chosen so much.
It's the pageant mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's the pick me to be the winner. I want to win this. Okay. But it's like, what are you winning?
Do you think it has anything to do with women's? Because the way that I've known pick me girls growing up through college and everything is a girl who is wanting to look like the best type of wife in a very like almost 1950s era way of kind of portraying herself, right? A pick me girl is a girl who gets on one of these microphones and says that you should not dance to Sexy Red. That's what I've known a pick me girl as. Like, you know, she's wearing, she's modest. She is smart. She works, but not too hard. She cooks really well. She cleans. She picks up the kids. That's how I've always like known a pick me girl. But in you guys' experience on your podcast, you guys don't know.
I don't think it's limited to just that. Like it could be that. I don't even think it's limited to just women. I think it's everyone. Like I think
you think men have it too. Really?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Wow.
We all have a little pick me in all of us.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Like, what's wrong with wanting to be chosen? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, like Julie said, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be chosen. It's like, do you lose yourself in the process? Are you just trying to get to the next milestone without actually checking in with yourself to see if you like this person or not? This is what we see in app culture dating. It's like, I want as many matches as possible. I want all these conversations to turn into dates. And then you ask, like, how many of the thousands of people you're talking to, how many do you actually want to go on a date with? Like, people don't go inward. They're like very much about that external validation.
I think, Justine, though, there is something about what you mentioned. It's like this girl, this is the stereotypical pick me girl. It's like, I'm not like the other women. Like, I'm different girls. Kind of thing. And I think that's the mentality that, like, if you look up on, like, Pick Me in Urban Dictionary, I think that's the definition you get.
That's the only one I know. Yeah, yeah.
But I think, I really do think it extends way deeper and further than that.
That is so, that's crazy. And I guess on, obviously, in a situation where you literally have to get chosen to stay on the show and do whatever you need to do. But I think that's why watching Bachelor in Paradise this season has been so frustrating, because we have Rachel and Kat. Rachel, former bachelorette. This is absurd.
Yeah.
She is out here just shucking and jiving for these roses for whoever. And just relinquishing their power completely. Kat, with these girl boss platitudes that she spits out, are her confessionals. So strange to me. They are so odd. But how is it that these two women who... I mean, Rachel's not claiming as much of like, I'm a former bachelorette, what the hell are y'all doing? But that's what we think watching it. And then Kat, who is claiming very much like girl boss energy. She definitely seems like, I'm a boss bitch. She definitely would wear the t-shirt, right? How is it that they are giving up their power immediately when they get to this beach? Is it just the game of it all? Or you think they really do this in their real life?
If you think about it, what Bachelor in Paradise simulates is actual dating. But the only difference is you see what your person, who else they're dating.
The competition.
You see it, right? But in
real
life, this happens.
Yeah.
You have a great date with someone, and the next day they could go on a great date with someone else.
Right.
It's just in real life, we don't see that. So we don't get us, I'm going to use the word insecure, because I would be insecure if I saw someone I had a great connection with go on a great date with someone
For
else.
Sure.
So I think this show should be renamed Insecurity Paradise, because it literally brings up all of your insecurities. And I think for these powerful, confident, or seemingly confident women, you are going to become insecure when all of your insecurities are basically excavated in front of you. Like, here's everything that's going to make you insecure, and it's on national television.
But even in real life, though, we see this all the time, that the most powerful like boss women. Mm-hmm. It completely goes to the wayside in dating. Like who you are in your work in that environment is not necessarily reflective of who you are in dating. It could be, but there's so many people that like it's such a it's always a shock to me, like when I hear this person like bending over backwards and doing whatever they can to get liked. And I'm like, that is not the person I know. Like, why are they doing this in dating? Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, like dating, there's a lot that's personal about it. It's like at the core of it, like we're asking someone to choose us and to love us.
To like us as we are.
Yeah. And it's like, if you get rejected, of course that's going to sting. There's no way around that fully. Like, but that being said, like you don't want to just fall into this mentality that you just want anyone and everyone to pick you.
Yeah.
Right.
Is the pick me, is this tied at all to like maturity? Like, is this something that we with life experience kind of age out of? Is it because the women we see on Paradise are so young? Or is this something that like, kind of... or are we all struggling with this even still in our 30s? Like... Sometimes I wonder when I watch Paradise because they're a lot younger than us that I'm like, is it a maturity thing or, you know, what do you guys think?
I sure hope so, but I definitely feel just even an ounce of this popping up in me sometimes. You know, I think just when a guy says, oh, I haven't been in a relationship in years and, you know, you make me feel something different. Like that somehow makes me feel like I'm going to fall in love with this person, even though I don't even know how I feel about this person yet. It's still that like, oh, I'm different. He's picked me. He's picked me to be in a relationship with. So I still feel some of that coming up. But I do know that with age, I am aging out of the whole like, I don't even want to be in the game. Like, I don't want to be in the lineup. You know, if it were me on Bachelor in Paradise, I'm like, I'm out. Day two. Bye, guys. Like, no need to pick me. That's it. I'm leaving here. Yeah, just give me my margarita. I'm going.
I mean, I think it really comes down to have you done the self-work too? Like, if you don't, you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Yeah. Like, you can be whatever age and it doesn't change. I think the part that's like the benefit of age is that you have that opportunity to learn. Like, I definitely remember, like, very much in my 20s, like, trying to, like, mold myself into the type of person that I was dating so they could like pick me. And then I got to a point that I'm like, this is not what I want in life. And I want to be with someone that likes me for who I am. And who cares if I go on 100 dates? I only need one person if I'm monogamous. But that takes time to get there. And not
That's a good point. That reminds me, I've shared on the podcast, my first date with my husband, my attitude when I walked in was very... I would say at that point in dating, I was so jaded. I was like, here I go again. I'm on another first date. Like, here we fucking go. And I had just like broken things off with the last guy the week before. And my energy was very much like, I'm Natasha. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Okay, that's cool. What next? Very job interview. And he confirmed it too. He was like, you were very like just direct. Like, we got to get through it. But I think it was a bit of life experience. It was years and years of dating. It was like a tiredness of like, here I am again. And it was very much maybe it didn't come off the greatest, but it was a confidence where it was like, I know I'm the shit. You can choose me or not, but I'm definitely here to choose you. And I think that came with being burned so many times and kind of developing a harder exterior, but also just like a confidence, like, you know, I am the shit. So are you up to par or not?
That is so important for people to hear. And I need to remind myself of that, Natasha. The difference in how you are speaking there than the people on Bachelor in Paradise is that you are also actively choosing that person and letting them know. I think what happens on the show and in real life dating is that we want to be chosen, but we don't let the other person know that we're choosing them too. And that's why they go on, they accept the date cards and they explore other connections because they're also like, well, I don't know who you haven't chosen me. So I'm going to go find someone too. Right. So that's important to be like, I'm on this date with you because I choose to be here with you and I choose to spend time with you.
Yeah. That gets lost real easy in dating. You forget it real quick.
My heart did go out to Olivia, though, when I was watching. I feel like that was like me in my 20s. And I'm like, ugh, like that. Like,
To me, though, and I don't know if you guys also felt this way, to me, she looked like the most secure because she was so open with her feelings. She was like, listen, I liked you.
Yes.
So what's going on here? I liked you. I said I was going to be behind the scenes waiting for you. She was honest the whole time. Mm. All these other girls are incredibly dishonest with the way that they move. And I think that is a huge quality of being insecure, I think.
I did like that she was transparent. I think that is really important. And having the confidence to be like, I'm here for you. I want to be with you. Where I think she came off as maybe pick me a little is that I'll wait for you. And granted, I understand like she can't leave the island.
Like, where's she going to go?
And she doesn't want to leave, but like this, like, I'm here, I'm waiting, like, you, like, you know, like, it's this mentality. And we see this with dating too. It's like, you have to know too when to pull the cord. When someone is like clearly dating around or doesn't want to be with you, just like waiting for them is a recipe for failure.
Yeah, I think she is. The sad part is she went through this already in the beginning of the season.
That's right.
And, right?
Yes. And Will.
With Will. And so then now she's like experiencing it again. And it's not a great feeling. But I also understand she's like, yes, I do like you. But I want to shake her and be like, isn't this giving you some information about John Henry? That's not that great. Like the fact that any girl could come in and just like, be really aggressive with him, and he's like, okay, sure. I would hope that in her eyes it makes him less attractive, right? And then that she can move on. But I also understand that she's like, she's been through it already, so it's got to be tough.
Yeah, she knows a lot more about Kat than she does about John Henry.
That is so true.
Well, that's another piece too. It's like the focus is all off. Like, it's all about her and like how she's this terrible person. And maybe she is, but like, who cares? Like, you're not dating that person.
Right, you're not dating Kat.
Right, yes. And he just has like this hall pass. Like, he can do no wrong. And I think people, and this is in dating too, like outside of reality TV, it's like people treat you how you allow them to treat you.
True.
So like she lets him treat her like a doormat, and that's what he did. He found someone that like felt more challenging to him, and he was like, oh, this person's gonna be here whether I choose them or not, so I might as well like see who else is out there.
I don't even think he's that, I don't even think he thinks that way. Is that deep? He's just a blob. Yeah, I don't think... He is literally just a blob on the island. And like anybody can just mold him into whatever they want him to be. He is like, to me, he has no conviction, no personality whatsoever. He's just like, he's just a good looking blob on the island. But I'm curious what you all three think of this. This happens every season on Bachelor in Paradise. It's like you almost need to date around to have a point of comparison, and then some of them do go back to their original person. Yeah. Like, you almost need to have that experience first to know that this connection is real. I don't know if you all believe that too, like in real life dating.
Ooh, that's a great question. Because I do have friends who have gotten with their like first love ever in life. They're settled down, they sit down, they're done. They're like, I'm ready. I'm done. It's over. Even my mom has friends who have been married 30, 40 years.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, there's something I gotta get off my chest, girl.
Tell me.
I've been low-key struggling with my relationship with my phone and social media. Just the over-accessibility these devices create, this addiction to Instagram, the distraction from everyday life and the people closest to me, it's been really stressing me out. I'm not even going to lie.
I mean, that makes sense. Content overload is very real, and staring at everybody's highlight reels can be overwhelming and can absolutely steal your joy and peace. We carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. You all know we're huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout different stages of my life and areas where I've needed help, from eating disorders to new relationships to my ever-changing relationship with my family. Therapy has really helped me to set boundaries and prioritize my self-care.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/2BG1R. His first boyfriend out of sixth grade, and that's who they got with. Mm-hmm. I think, though, it depends on your upbringing and where you're from. Like, I'll just say from an all-girls school, growing up in an all-girls school perspective, I could never have done that. Just because I didn't know enough about me around men to trust that decision was smart, that I could be like, oh yeah, the first guy in college, yeah, I'll just go with him. Yeah. I did not trust myself enough for that. Mm-hmm. But I think it just depends on your upbringing, I would say.
Mm. It also goes back to the fact that, like, in real life dating, you're not seeing this, right? So, like, this is normal to, like, date around. And there's, you can't really fault someone for doing this. Like, my partner, like, when we first met, he, like, said that he went on another date, like, right after me. And was, like, made it so much more clear, like, our connection because of the contrast, too. And I can't be upset about that. It's like in early dating, like the first time you meet someone, of course you're going to be dating other people. Like, that's so standard this time, like this day and age. But here it feels like they are doing something wrong and they need to be like instantly committed.
Yeah. I agree, Julie. I think there's nothing wrong with learning. You're really just kind of learning through each date. And I think your experience with your partner is very common, and that next person just proved to them even more that, oh no, I connect with that girl more. But how could they have known that if they didn't have a point of comparison? So yeah, I definitely don't see anything wrong.
Should I tell the story?
Yes, you should. If you're questioning it, then we want to. I am. Answer is yes.
Natasha, this has to do with you. So
Oh, damn, okay.
Famously on Natasha's third date with Nate on New Year's. And Nate at one point was like, just me and Natasha had gone to the bathroom or something, and we were talking, and he was like, oh yeah, I listened to your podcast. I was like, really? That's crazy. He was like, yeah, I just heard that she broke it off with some other guy. And I was like, yeah, she did. She's out here a hot commodity. Okay. And Natasha had on a snakeskin tank top dress. She was all tight and cute. I was like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, she did. And I think it it almost kind of like not helps, but I think to speak to kind of what Julie was saying, it kind of helps that you're like, it's a signal that you're attractive to others. So people like to see it, maybe. But that just reminded me of that story. That's
funny. Yeah, I know.
That is pretty funny. I know. It's like the things you say on your podcast.
Yeah.
I know. Comes back like, later. I'm gonna listen to this. You're right. Oh, this you tuned in.
Job. Nobody's listening.
Who's hearing this right now?
Oh, God. Yeah, I think it's what was I going to say? I think on Paradise, I think the issue is they're doing it in front of each other. But I agree, Julie, this is dating. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of this. It's just here there's a competition to it. You're doing it in front of everyone. Like, you know, if Nate had saw me with that guy before, how different he might have felt about me in the moment. Yes. He's like, oh, she's a hot commodity. I'm down. But if, it might have been like, yeah, she's not for me, da, 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 you know? So that's the difference with Paradise is there. You know, you don't see this often.
Like, you know your partner's been with other people in the past.
Right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right,
there's
right.
A difference in theory. Knowing and seeing. Like, seeing it. You can't unsee it.
Yeah.
I think the real problem, too, is, like, again, that you have to pick someone on the show, right? Like, that is the core of it. Like, if you were dating and you realized someone else was dating around all these other people, like, you can say, okay, I don't want to be in that situation. I want to go find someone else that's not going to be doing that. But here, it's like, you can't, one, walk away. And then, two, everyone else is doing that, too. So it's just, like, set up for that perpetual feeling of, you know, everyone is looking for what's better and wants to be chosen.
Another question I had, which we see a lot on not even just Paradise, but just in The Bachelor in general, is sometimes you see like a very clear personality mismatch. We even see it with John Henry and Kat. Like they seem like totally different people. And it's so obvious. Like this is just a mismatch. I think last episode too, Tanner broke up with Kat and said, our personalities are just very different. On The Bachelor, you see it a lot, but then you see girls sticking it out for many reasons. They probably want to, you know, make it to Paradise. They want to get social media fame or whatever, when there's clearly no connection. On Golden Bachelor, which was really interesting, we saw one of the women, Nancy, she left on her own accord because she's like, you don't really, not that you don't like me, but I'm clearly not in your top. So she kind of took that power and was like, I'm just going to leave. When we see, I guess if I relate it back to dating in real life, when there's like a very clear personality mismatch, but you see your friend or whoever just like still trying to make it work, what is that too? Like, why is it just, again, the pick me thing is still blinding us and we just want to be chosen? Or when you see it so clearly obvious, but you still try to like chip away and make this thing work, what is that?
One of the great things that we age out of, thank goodness. I really think you age out of this. But Kat, again, great example. If you watch her in earlier episodes of the season, she's a completely different Kat. Even the women were like, whoa, Kat's different. She's cool. She's nice. Because she was molding, she was presenting herself earlier on like, I'm different. You know, I'm so like mature. And then her true personality comes out once she's tested. Her ego's tested. Her pride is tested. Yeah, I think this happens in dating as well. When you're still haven't done the self-work, you mold yourself to the person you're seeing to impress them or to be on the same level, to be a personality match. And eventually, when your insecurities come out, that's when your true colors come out, and that's when it becomes a mismatch. And as a friend who's watching this happen, you just have to like sit back and be like, I know this is not going to work out. You know, there's nothing you can say or do, but that is what happens. It's like people are chameleons in dating, and
the shape shifting.
Just to impress the person they're dating.
I think it like I 100% agree with what UA said. I think there's so many reasons why people stay in these. Like it's just like it's so deep where this comes from. A big part of it though is just like scarcity mindset, and like maybe they have like what's good on paper, and you're the type of person you think you should end up with,
right?
So you still hold on to it even though deep down you know like this isn't really who I want to spend my life with, and like we're not going to really work. So it's like the focus on the wrong things is a big part of it too. But just you know, like the ability to choose, like I think the example you brought up, Natasha, in Golden Bachelor, like the fact that she chose herself and I'm not going to wait around for this person where like clearly I'm not the one that's being chosen. That goes back to what we were earlier. We were talking about earlier of like, you still want to be chosen by someone. It's not like pick me just like gets rid of that completely.
Right.
She realized like that she wasn't in the top running because they weren't the right fit. And by doing that, she was choosing herself to exit.
That's interesting, because if anyone has a scarcity mindset, you'd think it'd be like a 71-year-old.
Right.
I think that's the point, though, Justine. You hear the scarcity mindset from everyone. It's truly a mindset.
It's a mindset.
You can think there's so many better people out there for you, no matter what your age or whatever is going for you.
Yeah.
This is why Bachelor in Paradise is so brilliant, because it does somehow mirror reality. It's the you get on the island and you see everyone paired off. And that's like kind of in reality too. You're like, oh, everyone's
in a
couple now. Yeah. Everyone's taken. All the good ones are taken. And then you never know who's going to come down those stairs. And that's in real life too. You never know who's around the corner who could make you feel something again.
Yeah.
That's such a good parallel. True.
I know. I've not thought of paradise in that way, but it's so true.
The only people left in this world are these people that are in front of you.
And right.
Yeah. You're like, oh, they're all paired off. Great. I'm going to die alone on this island. Mm-hmm. And then it's ooh, who just came down the stairs?
Right.
Gaps is like the funniest thing to me, because it's like this abundance of choice gets in our way, that there are too many options, yet we also feel like there's no options at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't understand like how that works. Like
how?
Yeah. I feel like society and people who maybe didn't date online previously probably still feel like it's a really big scarcity mindset. Yeah. And me and my friends talk about this a lot when we get with our partners and then our parents like them more than us, because they're just like, hold on for dear life. He went to college. Hold on to him. Hold on to that man. He's good. Hold on to him. Mm-hmm. Like I used to get that all the time with this guy, Julie, that when you were talking, it reminded me of a lot. He's like engineer, da da da, blah da, masters, da da da. He was like awful, right? And they were cursing him the fuck out. He was awful.
Good on paper.
Me and Natasha met that day that he called me. Wow.
Wait, when?
Anyway, remember that day that we met at McClune's Boathouse and he called me and you were like, why is he calling you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to light him up when I get home. And I so did.
I remember.
But yeah, that's. I think a lot of people, especially like our moms, aunties, et cetera, they're still in that, like, there's only so many men left.
So true. Mm-hmm. Especially men, too. Mm. Like, there's this feeling of, like, there's no one good out there. We hear that
there's
all
no one
the
good.
Time.
Yeah. There's no one good.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we actually had a dating coach on our podcast, Evan Mark Katz. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was saying how, like, for whatever reason, like if you go to the mall, like the reality is like only 10% of the people like you're probably gonna like find attractive and want to like potentially date. But on dating apps, like the odds are probably the same. Yet for whatever reason, we think like everyone should like be the perfect 100%. Match for us. Yeah, it's like they're given to us on a silver platter. Then we get like discouraged when we don't see people that we think are like attractive or good for us to date. But that's like not reflective of the real world at all.
No, right.
It's just not true. Yeah. It's just
not true. It's not true. Amazon. Like, it's not going to be like, you know what I mean? It's not going to show you your best fit for what you're searched. Like, you're just showing people your area.
Yeah. Like 10% of people, though, is a lot of freaking people.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I just want to know for our last question, tips for real daters on how to not fall into the pick me mentality. If you guys have any. I mean, you guys dropped some gems today. I'm not sure if you have any extras.
Closing thoughts.
Yeah.
I mean, just taking a page out of Golden Bachelor, it's like, it's not people think I'm either going to be single or I need to be with this person who I went on a date with. Like, it's one or the other. But you also have a third choice, which is being alone. Being alone and being single are different. Would I rather be alone with myself than be with this person? I think that's like the ultimate question we need to answer after a date. Are you choosing this person over yourself, or are you choosing yourself over this person? And I can tell you, like 90% of the dates I've been on, if I were to look back and really ask myself that question, I would have just rather been with myself than with them. Mm-hmm. But when you're in that pick me mentality, you're like, no, that was, it's still an opportunity. There's a chance. Please pick me.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's some of yourself, the...
Oh, sorry, Julie, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think the other piece, too, it's like it's picking yourself first and foremost. But also if you're with – there's like always an opportunity cost of being with the wrong person, too. We forget that.
Oof.
Yeah. Like if we say that we're going to be with, you know, X person that looks good on paper but treats you like shit and they're not like the type of person you want to end up with, what about all the other people you could be meeting in that time?
Yeah.
Like
you
can't be with, find the right person if you're with the wrong person. There's no way.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think at the forefront, it needs to be like, do I like this person? Like, that needs to be the question.
Yeah, that's really it. Plain as simple. That's really it. Yeah, because the reason they're treating you bad is because they don't like you.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, do at a baseline, they don't like
being treated this way. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said, Yue. Just the thought of like being alone, being single, sitting with yourself, not being in a relationship, like that is a viable possibility. That could be a very happy, like great possibility. Yeah. And I think we often think of it as like, no, like there's just not enough conversation around that being a possibility and a choice and that you can be happy in that. And I'm not saying you're choosing that to die alone forever. You could still want the desire to be with somebody else or to be with somebody. But there could be a lot of possibility and health and happiness in just choosing to be alone as well.
Yeah. And Julie and I talk about this a lot. Like, we need to stop thinking about single as a layover to relationships. Yeah. Single is also a state of being, just like relationships are a state of being. It's it's not a passing phase. Like every place you're at in life, you're meant to be there. So if you're single, it's not like, oh, I'm single, but I'm trying to change my status. It's like, enjoy being single. There's so many privileges to being single because you're not going to be single forever. And then, you know, really you take advantage of that time.
Well, we don't. It's like a stage of life, too. Like, it doesn't mean you're going to be single forever. Like, that is a big piece that we forget. It's like, I think this is like the last man on earth when we're like on a date. And it's like, no, if you pass on this person, even if you're alone for a little, like, you'll find someone else eventually.
It's temporary.
If that's what you want.
It's all temporary.
If that's what you want. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Well, Julie and Yue, this was great. You dropped a lot of gems. You helped us think of paradise a little differently as well.
Yes. Thank you, Yue. That was great. It's
a brilliant seriously. Thank you so much for coming on. Please tell our listeners where they can find you, what's happening over on Dateable. All the things.
We have all the things. So we are on all the podcasting platforms. You can find us on our website, datablepodcast.com. You can find us through social media at datablepodcast is our handle. And we also do a weekly brunch talk, which we answer people's burning dating questions. So they can send in questions and we'll answer them in the order that they come in. Or if they leave us a rating and review, we push the questions up to the top of the queue and answer them right away.
Nice. Love that. You guys, check out Dateable, and we hope to have you guys back maybe in another episode, another future. Help us make sense of some other stuff that comes up on our shows. Yes.
Maybe Love is Blind. That'd be
we're here for that. Yeah.
Another messy shit show.
All right. So let's dive into this episode, friends. That's a snippet of this week's episode.
For the full episode and bonus episodes and videos, join our amazing community on Patreon at patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose.
See you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.